Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with my special guest in studio, Brother Harold Copeland, and we are on Mission from the Heart Radio. Praise the Lord, so excited that you can be tuned in again with us today. For we know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter the circumstance, no matter what you may be thinking or believing or even feeling like, just allow yourself to rejoice and be glad in the Lord. And this is what we rejoice about, for He is Lord. He is our Savior. And this is what we've been talking about during this wonderful teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. Now, we are in part four of this teaching series, and I'm going to just allow Brother Harold to come right in so that we can get started on another wonderful serving of God's teaching under the umbrella of discipleship. So, Brother Harold, if you will, go ahead, and we will be ready, willing, and able, coming hungry to the table to continue in this beautiful teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. Brother Harold?
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And hello again, everybody. God bless you all. As I said, I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, we are in studio together again. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast, letting you know it's always an honor and always a privilege to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the words of our Lord and our God. Want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. We thank God for your lives. But most importantly, always, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And every time you open up that heart of yours to receive the word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit that will take you to your divine destiny, and you too shall fulfill God's plan and divine call upon your life. As was said, we're still on the series under the umbrella of discipleship. And we are operating under the category of the atonement. And we're going to go right ahead and we're going to open up. We're going to start out with a couple of scriptures. But we always start out, open up with our launch pad scripture, which comes out of the book of Matthew chapter number 28, starting with verse 18 through verse 20.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. And we are on the category of the atonement. And at the atonement, in all places, is where the blessings of God was appropriated, was made manifested for us. Now, the word of God is always established on two or three witnesses. And we're going to call two witnesses in to testify of the beauty and the supply that was made for us at the atonement. And the first witness we want to call is Psalms chapter number 103, verse 1 through 3.
Psalms 103, verse 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases?
Yes. And we emphasize much on that in the previous teaching. So we just pull out, forget not all of his benefits. We're going to pull that out. And we see forgiveness and we see healing. Let's call a second witness. Notice our first witness came out of the Old Testament. And we're going to call our second witness from the New Testament, Mr. Reverend Brother 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 24.
1 Peter 2, 24, and it reads this way. Himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
We were healed. Now, the first witness said that all the benefits were available at the atonement. And the first witness properly told us about two. All of our sins are forgiven at the atonement. And all sin, diseases, affliction, infirmities was healed by his stripes and his meaning Jesus. And the second witness came and verified it by telling us that Jesus took all of our sins into his body at that time, and we're talking about the time of the atonement, and he took all sins of yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever into his body, that we, because of his action, we become righteous. We become the righteousness of God in him. And he went on to testify that by Jesus' stripes that he received, 39 stripes on his back, we were healed. And that's meaning being healed from every sickness, disease, affliction, and infirmity that can possibly exist in the earth realm. And just a side note here, all sickness and disease that the devil ever released in the earth realm is put in categories. And there are 39 categories of sickness, disease, affliction, and infirmity. And our Lord and Savior took a stripe for every category. He took a stripe on his back, claiming healing, manifesting healing for every sickness and disease that the devil can ever present to us. It's already been accomplished. Now, and we stand on the word of God. We do not stand on the word of a man or what somebody feels or somebody's emotion, but we stand on the word. And to appropriate the discipleship, making disciples, our tool is the word of God. The word of God comes forth and goes forth and releases. And we want to read about what happens every time, no matter where it is, whether it's in a church service, whether the word of God is released in a stadium, whether the word of God is released at a home Bible study, whether the word of God is released at Mission from the Heart radio broadcast. Something always takes place. And we're going to allow Matthew to reveal this to us. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start with verse 3 and read all the way through verse 9. Matthew chapter 13. 3 through 9.
Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell along thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Amen. So when the word of God is released, every time, there is always three types of ground available to receive that word. And we're going to bring this in, that the sower is the teacher, the preacher, the person who is releasing the word. And there are four different types of ground available. We heard about the wayside. We heard about the stony. Then we heard about the thorny. And we heard about the good ground. And it was read that out of all four types of ground, there is only one ground that all the other ground does not receive the word. Not the wayside. Not the stony ground, not the stony ground, only the good ground. And we see an increase when the word is received. It was read some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, we're going to read just a little bit further, and we want to explain the conditions of the ground. So we're going to stay in Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to read starting in verse 19 through verse 23.
When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. He who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30.
Amen. And as we can see, and as we said earlier, the sower is the preacher, the teacher, the one that's releasing the word, wherever the word is released. The sower is releasing the word. Now, the ground is the condition of the heart of the people that are receiving the word. Every time the word of God is released, wherever, these four types of ground are available. And we understand that only one ground manifests fruits, or should we say, receive the word. And as we move forward, we are going to just curse the first three grounds out of at their roots, and we're going to just release them just to fade away. The wayside ground, we declare and decree that everyone receiving this word heart is not a wayside ground. The stony ground, we just decree that there's no stony heart listening to this word. The stony ground, we take authority in Jesus' name and declare that there is no stony ground. And we just prophesy that every heart that hears this word is good ground. And we prophesy increase. And we thank God for the 30-fold, and we thank him for the 60-fold, but we prophesy that every heart that heard his word receives a 100-fold increase. And as we are under the umbrella of discipleship, being obedient to the commandment of Lord Jesus Christ himself, we prophesy that those that receive that hundredfold will become disciples and rise up and start making disciples. even to the point where some of you are invited to the studio and to release that increase that God has placed in your heart. Now, as we move forward with a hundredfold increase in good ground of the hearts, we are going to show how to activate the word as it comes forth, as we receive it. And we want Romans chapter 10, verse 17, to speak to our hearts as we open our hearts to receive.
Romans 10, verse 17. So, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen. As our hearts are open for good ground, receiving a hundredfold increase, our faith will also be released, and we will be pleasing to God, and we will position our hearts to remember this word and stand on this word, being obedient to Psalms chapter number 103. And we do not forget. We do not forget not. And we're going to let our master slowly show us, our master, Jesus Christ, show us how to, as a disciple, how to appropriate the word to receive that hundredfold increase, how to appropriate the word from our hearts to receive that hundredfold increase of the word. And we want to read it slowly. We're going to take it slowly in this. Matthew chapter 4. And we want to read verse 4. Matthew 4:4.
And it reads this way. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Verse 7, same chapter.
Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.
Verse 10.
Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.
Jesus is our example on how to appropriate the word of God when we receive it in our hearts and we use it in discipleship to receive the hundredfold benefit of the word. And what Jesus showed us, that when Satan comes with his lies, even if he's trying to, he's using the word and twisting the word just a little bit, we as disciples of God must stand firmly. Somebody say stand firmly. Stand firmly and declare and decree the truth of what God's word says, it is written, disciples of God only stand and proclamate what is written in the Word of God. We do not go by what Great Papa said, or Big Mama said, or my pastor that was pastor for 80 years, what he said. We do not go by feelings. We do not go by emotions. And we don't let our circumstances determine the outcome. We do not let our situation determine the outcome. But we speak what is written in God's word, and we stand on God's word no matter what is going on around us, in us, through us, about us. And as we stand on that word, we go back to Romans 10:17, we read, by faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we want to feel two of the blessings, benefits that's in the atonement. And we have many, glory to God, as we just are determined to be obedient to the command that Jesus gave us. The most important duty or assignment he wanted us to do while he gone. And he wanted us to do it until he come back. Make disciples. So to show that our God cannot make us sick and then come back and heal us, cannot heal us, then make us sick, we're going to declare what is written in the word of God and receive that word with joy that we may receive the hundredfold income. So we look at healing it in the atonement and the forgiveness of sin, the two testimonies testified of that. And once we get this revelation firmly, that a tight grip into our hearts. And David described it in the Old Testament. He said, I hide it in my heart. He told God, he said, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. And we spoke about how can we sin against God concerning his word. And Psalms 103 told us that it's when we forget what God has done for us, we sin against the commandment of God. So the word firmly established in our heart, it will cause us to disciple. We are disciples. We make disciples. And we reject false teaching. And you say, well, what is a false teaching? It's something that's not written. Jesus showed us what true teaching is. It is written. And if it's not written and we can't declare, it's false teaching. And one false teaching is God is the one who calls people to die. That's a false teaching. I'm going to show you that. God put sickness on us to humble us for some redemptive purpose, to perfect us through all of this suffering. I'm going to bring some truth to that. Because we know that Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins and for the healing of our body. Let me ask one question before we go forward. This is a rhetorical question. And what a rhetorical question is, we don't answer it. We just ponder it. And ponder means we just think about it. No answers. No raising other hands. Rhetorical question. If God get glory out of our sickness, rhetorical question, why do we take medicine to try to get that glory off of us? Rhetorical question. If God get glory out of our sickness, why do we go to the doctor to try to get that glory off of us? If God get glory out of our sickness, why do we have the operation? If our sickness glorify God, I think we should try to keep that glory on us. And if God put the sickness on us for our glory, I believe that we are sinning against him trying to go to a doctor or take medicine or take an operation to get the glory off of us. There's no truth in that. Amen. That's false teaching. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you through the scripture. Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sin. I'm grateful. I am for the healing of our bodies. I got to put a hallelujah in there because I believe it. I receive it in my heart. I firmly got it in my heart. Glory to God. And this is a part of a complete atonement, which is under the umbrella of the discipleship. So Jesus would no more put sickness on us than he would lead us to sin. And I'm sure everybody will agree with me that Jesus would not say, tell us to go sin. No, he wouldn't do that. And just as Jesus would not tell us to go sin, he would not bring sickness and give it to us either. I want to show you about the scripture. Because when we understand that, we just wouldn't easily submit to sickness and say, God, get your glory out of it. Just as easy as we won't just surrender to sin and say, I'm glorifying God through my sinning. There's no truth in that. And once we get this mindset, we'll start seeing healing manifest in our bodies. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 3, verse 25.
Mark 3:25. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand.
Matthew, chapter 12. Verse 25.
25 reads this way. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand.
Yes. And what was taking place here is the religious leaders was accusing Jesus. They saw he was casting out devils. And they saw he had power to do it. And so what they came up with was he was doing it under the power of the devil. And Jesus brought this law, this principle that says that the devil can't cast out the devil, because if he casts out himself, his kingdom, his house, would be divided he would destroy his own kingdom if he divides his kingdom by fighting against his own kingdom. It would not stand. And so we take this to the kingdom of God. If God healed us, then came back and made us sick, God's kingdom would be divided. It's a spiritual law. God's house would be divided. It's a law. And a divided kingdom cannot stand. A divided house cannot stand. The devil, the destructor, can't cast out his own destructive work. And God, the healer, cannot bring sickness to his precious healing work, or there'll be division in the kingdom. It's a spiritual law. And the law operates consistently when it is applied. Even God's kingdom, if he allowed it to be divided, which he would not, it wouldn't stand. So I need for you to marinate on that and get it in your spirit as disciples of the kingdom of the living God. We must know this. And you know I love that word know, because it's not intellectual. Man, it's an intimacy, knowing of the heart. When we come into God's kingdom as a disciple and we have that desire to receive the word that the sower sowed out of his heart into our hearts, and we perceive moving forward, saying, I will not be wayside ground. My heart will not be stony ground. My heart will not be stony ground, but I declare I approach the word of God with a good heart. My heart is open to receive the word. Amen. And then we can be like Brother David. And when that word comes forth, we can catch it. We can catch it in our hearts. David said, hide it. Catch it and hide it and treasure it and come one with it. And in order for us to position ourselves to be a disciple that can approach God with a good heart and be able to receive his word with gladness and to be able to catch his word with gladness, we have to have one of my favorite words, a knowing of this God. Amen. We have to know him. Amen. We have to know the fellowship of his suffering. Amen. How he suffered in the person of Jesus Christ. And we have to come one with that truth and bring that truth in and say, I believe it. I know mama used to believe it and daddy believed it and grandma believed it, but I got to believe this for myself. And I feel the spirit of the living God. I feel the Holy Spirit wooing on hearts. That's how God communicates with us. He said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And the voice of God is coming forth by the Spirit of the living God, by the word of God, and it's knocking on the door of somebody's heart. And I hear Holy Spirit say, stop, drop, and pray. And allow Minister Kenita Smith to take us to the cross. Minister Smith.
Amen, amen. This is a time of the broadcast where we extend Jesus to you, that you will have
right tree of life. We cannot assume that every listener to this broadcast is saved. Because this broadcast is heard all across the world, it is our responsibility as disciples to know that we have extended the word, Jesus himself, to you, that you would come to him in all surrender, meaning with your whole heart, that you would give your life to him. So we take this time in the broadcast to do that. So if you would come humbly to the throne of grace, as humble as you know how, and allow him to be Lord of your life. Now, my brothers and sisters in Christ who are listening to the broadcast as well, partner with us, Brother Harold and I, as we touch and agree that somebody you may know, you may have been lifting up in prayer, you may have been praying for months, that they would give their heart to Christ. Lift them up today. Pray for them today as we pray together. And we will be one together in prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we pray a prayer of salvation. Now, you who have come humbly with your whole heart, it's our words, but your heart. You repeat after us, but your heart is set, prepared wholeheartedly to say yes to Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father God, come humbly to your throne of grace, asking, what must I do to be saved? Lord, I surrender my life to you because I know you are the only way. You did what you did on the cross for me, and I thank you. Lord, I couldn't do anything in and of myself, but I thank you for what you did. You hung, you bled, and you died for me. Thank you, Lord. Here I am, surrendering my life to you. Why? Because I know I'm not right. I am a woman. I am a man of unclean lips, of unclean thoughts, and of unclean actions. And Lord, I surrender my hands to give you my life. I believe by faith that you are my Lord. And I know that every word in the Bible is true. And I receive you by faith because I know that you are my way, you are my truth, and you are my Lord. And I thank you. So here I am, Lord, coming to you today. Be the Lord and sit on the throne of my heart. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And we are super excited that you did the best thing today in your life. Now, we encourage you, as we always do, to seek out a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion of water, and that you would seek out a small group Bible study or Sunday school class, that you would continue to be discipled, that you would grow and go according to what we've read in Scripture, that you would grow and go, that God would use you in the magnitude that he uses all of us collectively. So it is our joy that you have come into the ark of salvation. Hallelujah. And it is our faithfulness to God and our faithfulness to his word that you continue to press in to the Lord as you continue to be discipled. Now, he never promised it would be easy, but it's worth it. So praise ye the Lord. The angels are rejoicing because one soul has come and given their life to Jesus Christ. And that is a joy to know that you have said yes to Jesus for the rest of your life. God bless you and continue to press in to the Lord. So, Brother Harold, we've got about 15 more minutes to go as we continue to grow in grace.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We give God the highest praise. For the word of God tells us that the angels rejoice when one come into the kingdom by giving them their hearts to God through Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful, receiving him. And I rejoice with the angels at this moment. Glory to God. And I had a preacher that told me that, you know why the angels rejoice when one heart is receiving the kingdom of God? And I said, no, tell me. He said, because the angels are looking at God while this soul is coming in. And God began to smile. And when the angels see God smile, they just raise their hand and they begin to rejoice. And as I see it in my spirit, if you can see me, I'm raising my hand and I'm rejoicing in my spirit for my brothers and sisters that has entered into the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of God, with all of their hearts and their minds and their souls. This is a glorious day. And I like the way Minister Smith said, press in. She said, nobody said it was going to be easy, but press in. It's worth it. Beautiful words. Beautiful. And we're going to enter into that press it in. As I establish the truth that has been released, that this is a complete atonement administered by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And there is no need for another atonement. It's complete and it's finished. Because the power of the atonement is the power, it's in the power of the blood. We understand that the blood that was released in this atonement is the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we can take it a little further and say, since in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. God shed his own blood for you and for me in this beautiful blood covenant heart relationship with the invisible, almighty. And I haven't brought this word in yet, but it has to come in. Loving, hallelujah, loving God, unconditional, loving God, agape, hallelujah, amen. He made up his mind. I love you. 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 That's God's love song to us. Amen. He loves us dearly. And that's why he gave us this awesome covenant. And that's why under the spirit of discipleship, being obedient to the commandment of Jesus Christ, that we release this covenant with joy through the hearts of God's people. Knowing that Jesus will no more put sickness on us than he will ask us to go sing it. We understand this. So we're no longer going to submit to sin. And that's what brings us in to nobody said it was going to be easy. We have to press in. We're no longer going to submit to sickness and sin. We got to press in. Amen. Instead of yielding to sin, instead of yielding to sickness, we yield to God. And that yielding to God is we press in to God. And we press in from the inside to the outside with all of our heart, as she said so eloquently, and all of our mind, and all of our soul, and all of our strength. And all of our might, we press in to the newness, no longer going backwards to the old way. And pressing in the teaching, we will call it, I actively fight against. Let's say that again. Actively fight against. That's pressing in. Nobody said it'll be. But it's worth it. And what was read in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus showed us our example, what he was doing, he was pressing in. He was actively fighting against the lies and the work of the enemy. Now, since we are on this road, this umbrella of discipleship, we into the kingdom of God, we have to follow the example of Jesus. We have to press in every day. We have to actively fight against the lies, the works of the kingdom of God. And we do it with the truth of the word of God. And as Jesus said, we do it by declaring and decreeing, it is written. It is written. It is written, and we stand on that truth. Now, as we pull down that, James, the book of James will show us how to press in and how to actively fight against. James chapter 4, verse 7.
James 4, verse 7 reads this way. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen. That's actively fighting against the lies of the enemy. Actively fighting against the work of the enemy. And we have to do it in the order that it is written. In the order that it is written, he said, first we submit ourselves, therefore, to God. So we press in to God. Amen. And this is an inward pressing in. We press in, we submit our hearts to God. We submit our mind to God's mind. See, that's the way the devil, once we submit our hearts to God's heart, the devil can't have our heart. Once we submit our minds to God's mind, the devil cannot have our mind. And we submit our souls to God, great spirit, knowing now that our soul belong to God and the devil cannot trespass on our soul. He has no authority to operate in us. We are holy ground, and he cannot trespass on holy ground. So what we do is we submit to God, and then we are able to resist him. We could never resist the devil without a submission to God first. And when Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4 that we was read, the scripture said, if you take it home and read it, the scripture said that he was led in the spirit. He was led by the spirit. And we're talking about the spirit of God. And the spirit of God was leading Jesus. So Jesus was under the submission to the spirit of God. And since he was submitted to God's spirit, he was submitted to God. And in that way, he was able to resist the lies of the devil with the truth of God's word. Amen. And the devil had to flee from him. Amen. And when we actively fight against pressing in, that's how we get victory over the lies of the enemy. That's how we stand on the word of our living God. That's how we do warfare. And when the enemy comes with those old lies that he used to put in our head before we got saved, and we declare and we decree and let him know, I'm not there anymore. I'm submitted to God. And since I'm submitted to God, I'm pressed into God, I am now rooted and grounded in the love of God. I am now a workmanship in God. I'm a tool in God's hand. I'm a disciple of the living God, and I'm recreated in Christ Jesus. I'm not that old person anymore, and I don't do the bad works of the kingdom of darkness, but I've been anointed and appointed to do good works of the kingdom of God. Amen. I don't walk by my thoughts and my feelings. I don't walk in the flesh anymore. I'm led like Jesus was led by the Spirit, the divine nature of God. I'm led by the power of the Spirit of the living God. Declare and decree, actively fighting against him, standing on the word of God. I'm a new creature in Christ. I am in Christ. My identity is in Christ. I'm brand new. All things have become new. The old things in my life have passed away, and everything I receive it in my spirit, and it comes from the heart of God. I'm a representative created in his image and his likeness. I walk in the divine nature of the kingdom of the living God. Hallelujah. And you stand, and we stand, and we let the devil know. We know who we are. Our identity is no longer in our flesh. Our identity is in Christ. And we are identified by the Spirit of God. And we keep pressing in, and we keep actively fighting against those lies by standing on the word of God. Minister Smith.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Brother Harold, for a wonderful message concerning the atonement of Jesus Christ and being discipled by that. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, it is not an easy work, but it is worth it. It is worth the fight that we fight, the fight of faith, as we continue to grow up in the Word of God, coming off of the milk of the Word and eating the meat of the Word. This discipleship exercise or journey or growth spurts, it's worth every moment. And we just continue to encourage you to not give up. Fight the fight of faith, because the enemy is lurking around, trying to devour us, trying to shut us up, trying to quiet us, trying to keep fear planted in us. And just as Minister Harold said, he is the father of lies. We actively fight against the lies of the enemy. And so I just encourage you to continue to be a bright and shining light in this dark time that we're living in these closing days of grace. So always remember, never forget that the grass withers and the flowers, they fade away. But the Word of God, as we've seen, will remain forever and ever and ever. God bless you. Continue to be faithful to the broadcast. But most of all, be faithful to the Word of God, as He is faithful with us. So you have a wonderful, blessed remaining of your day. God bless you.